If you or someone you know has been injured, call Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates, Chicago's top injury lawyers. They've won the largest jury verdict for a back injury, the largest jury verdict for a brain injury, and the largest jury verdict for a neck injury. In fact, they've won the largest personal injury verdict in Illinois history. There are no upfront fees, and you don't pay unless they win. Call 312-800-8000 for a free consultation. That's 312-800-8000. Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates. The attention you expect, the results you deserve.
Here's why AT&T Prepaid is a great prepaid choice.
When you switch to AT&T Prepaid,
you get two ZTE Maven 3 smartphones for free.
And two lines for $75 a month.
AT&T Prepaid has no annual contract.
And no activation fee.
Switch to AT&T Prepaid and get two free ZTE Maven 3 smartphones and two lines on AT&T's reliable network.
Limited time offer available at participating AT&T stores. Two for $75 per month requires two new lines of service on a $45 monthly plan each under a multi-line account. Account owner on auto pay. Reliable network claim for third-party sources, fees, coverage, and other restrictions apply. Details at att.com/prepaid.
You're listening to Chicago's original sports talk station. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
Do you fear that the NCAA may get involved in this down the road somehow, some way?
No. To do what?
Well, I mean, the NCAA, as you know, caught some flack for being late and then overwhelming Penn State in the aftermath of that event.
This is not Penn State, and they were dealing with their football program. I do not see the and they're smart enough to know they're not confident to walk in here on this.
Bernstein and Goff on 670 The Score.
Well, when you speak like a dumbass, hopefully you get treated like one on the other side. And Joel Ferguson spoke like a dumbass, tone-deaf idiot. And now, after this bombshell that has been dropped on the country, where Michigan State fostered a culture of sexual assault for over 10 years, and shout out to OTL and Paula Levine for doing some absolutely fantastic investigative reporting. You listen to the Bernstein and Goff Show here on 670 The Score.
Joel Ferguson is the vice chair of the Board of Trustees, and that was laughing off any potential NCAA involvement in the Larry Nassar case.
We should listen to some more of that before this hour is out, by the way, because this is what happens. This is why you ask questions, ladies and gentlemen. People always say, why are you asking these guys questions you know the answer to? You get people on the record. When you get people on the record and you know what hits the fan, it's on the record. This man said, why would they come in here? We can't lose. He ended the interview with, we can't lose.
The editor of Deadspin, Timothy Burke, just posted this. Betsy DeVos, the Secretary of Education, met with Michigan State President Lou Anna Simon on September 20th. 2 days later, DeVos rolled back Title IX protections for sexual assault victims on college campuses. And if I'm reading this correctly, and a couple respondents here and a listener, a sarcastic Mike, pointed this out in the timeline. MSU then, right after the new policy was announced by the government, Michigan State skipped the regional office for Title IX and appealed nationally directly to drop the supervision that they were placed on because of their missteps and because of their inaction. They were placed on supervision. So immediately after, Secretary DeVos decided to roll back protections for victims.
They went over someone's head and said, hey, we got somebody in a high place right now. You might want to take that off of us.
After Lou Anna Simon met with her, lobbied for rollbacks.
She was told to do that probably. Like, hey, just come straight to me.
Come over here.
Don't talk to them.
You got some issues. Right. Don't worry about your regional office. We'll hook you up in the national office to make sure that these women don't get their due process. Frank and LaGrange, you're on WSCR.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I've always admired your guys' work. I had to pull over to talk to you on this one. The gentleman they called about burning it down, Chicago school, Tui in Harlem, they bulldozed it down. Don't underestimate this. And your guys' tenacity with this is so appropriate. Not just women. I was an athlete since I was 8. And I can just tell you from the Chicagoland area, there are people out here. Mm-hmm. We were given alcohol. We were recruited for our sports, tennis, soccer, baseball, basketball. And I guarantee you there's a lot of voices that are going to come to light with this right in the Chicagoland area. It's not just Big Ten. It's not just big schools. small schools. They came after us, men, women, whatever. When we traveled, we were not safe. And I'm so proud of you guys being a Chicago station. I'm going to hang up and listen to your response.
Frank, thank you for calling and sharing
your
story
with
us. Thank
you, Frank. And as I mentioned, in the wake of our discussions regarding the years of the Penn State news, that the part of the aspect of that that made it difficult and in a way also rewarding was when people pulled me aside at remotes or just on the street and had some very difficult conversations about things that happened to them.
Yeah.
And a lot of it involving, as you say, a lot of it involving athletics at various levels. And again, it comes down, Frank, thank you, it comes down to vulnerability. It comes down to who's vulnerable.
I don't need the reward. I don't need none of that. Right is right.
Yep.
You protect the people who don't have a voice. And I think I've been steadfast with that on many different levels, whether it be us talking about domestic abusers, family situations that I have seen, how that has crippled a family, hell, in my own family. Whether it be child molestation, whether it be, all the things that we talk about when it comes to how sports is firmly entrenched in our DNA and how we react to sports things and sports figures. I mean, the Ezekiel Elliott stuff, the Greg Hardy stuff, the Ray Rice stuff, all these things have been talked about. And we talk about them from a place of passion because there are more of these stories around you than you realize. And for the people that are quiet, that still don't want to publicly or vocally face or share their stories, just know that somebody's got your back, because these kinds of things, what should happen today? This very day.
Tom Izzo should resign.
To hell with Michigan State. What should happen today is every athletic director and every president of every university should have a meeting. There should be a 3 o'clock or a 4 o'clock meeting, wherever your time zone is, for you to bring all the powers that be into a room or on a conference call and say, listen, is there anything that we need to know that we need to get rid of in our school? Because if there isn't one of those meetings happening on your son or your daughter's campus right now, then I would be worried. I would be afraid, because this is how it happens. You just, the others that are committing these atrocities, they're just waiting. All right, hopefully it doesn't come to us, and hopefully I can retire. Hopefully I get this severance pay. Hopefully I get to, I'll have that night where I wave to the crowd and our esteemed AD, who was our football coach, is now retiring after all this time. Yeah, these are the things. These are the reasons why these people get to ride off and with glory. If these meetings aren't happening around campuses, in the Power Five conferences, all the way down to the Wheaton College story that we just did not too long ago, if these meetings aren't happening at the universities that we are sending our children to and that we are sending our women to, if these meetings aren't happening, then shame on these people. Because in the end, this should be a domino effect. This should be, all right.
More sunlight.
Yeah. This should be, all right, what's happening in Indiana? What's happening in Wyoming? What's happening at Cal Berkeley? What's happening at Stanford? What's happening at UTEP? What's happening at Tulane? What's happening at the University of Florida?
But if it didn't happen after Baylor, and it didn't happen after
saying.
Penn State.
But this is what I'm saying. If this came down in a flurry, these last 4 days, we were talking about a doctor sexually abusing over 200 girls, softball and gymnastics. And now is football and basketball, which we've always been leery of. We understand what goes on. Unfortunately, if you're not scared, and university presidents and SIDs and all those people who tune in every once in a while in the Chicagoland area, if you're not worried about what's going on your, whatever your 55,000 square feet of land or whatever the hell kind of land, tax-free land in some cases as well, right here in the Chicagoland area. If you're not worried about what's going on in your campus, it's coming for you too.
You're talking about severance pay. There's a couple things going on here. If you're Tom Izzo or Mark D'Antonio, your lawyers had better be in contact with the school right now. If you actually do want to save a semblance of these massive multi-million dollar deals, that's when you get out ahead of it and you start working on whatever the terms of the departure are going to be. Because you start to lose ground and you let this news cycle continue and you let more people speak up, you're not going to have that leverage. So they should be negotiating their own departures at the moment. There's also a texter here who says that Izzo will sue for defamation before he resigns. That's for the 6-3-0.
Yeah, he ain't going.
Here's the problem. If he sues for defamation, I don't think he wants discovery. I don't think he wants the discovery process under oath. Because then he has to submit, then there's all kinds of opportunities for any oppositional party, any adverse party, to go in and put people under oath. And if he wants to be deposed, and he wants his assistant coaches deposed, and all his former players deposed, he's open up, you talk about cracking open a closet. That's under oath. William is in Plano. He's on the Score.
Guys, I got to tell you something. Pandora box is wide open. This is not only in the schools in Illinois or New Mexico or any place. This is wide open. And there's no doubt about it. How can I say this? There have been some things that I witnessed. And I'm going to tell you, it is not good. I don't want to say anymore. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, William. We appreciate the call. Tim in Milwaukee, you're on WSCR.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to make a comment. I'm a college professor. I teach journalism courses. And as a college professor, it makes me sick to my stomach thinking about what these young people went through. I hope that professors at Michigan State in the communication journalism departments and schools, I hope they take this opportunity to talk about the importance of journalism and uncovering stories like this, because journalism is why we're talking about this today.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
My other comment is, I worry, though, moving forward, eventually this story has to get out of the news cycle for any number of reasons, and I just worry that people will stop talking about it when eventually the news cycle moves on to another story. So I'll be curious to hear your thoughts about that. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, hell, we were just talking about Baylor seemingly yesterday and Art Briles. No, you're right. You're right. And there is the fatigue that comes along, unfortunately, with these stories. But guess what? These young ladies, they have to live with this every day. Hell, a couple of them have killed themselves. I just read to you a parent. Can you imagine a parent going back through their dead daughter's room and reading years ago what happened to their daughter and wondering, man, why didn't I spot that change in my daughter 8 years ago, 7 years ago? Maybe she would still be here. Can you imagine the burden that parent has to walk around with because they chose to send $40,000 a year to a school to take care of their kid?
This was part of an editorial in the Michigan State News, which is the student newspaper on the campus of Michigan State University. This was before today's Outside the Lines report became public. This was simply regarding the Larry Nassar coverage. And I'm skipping ahead in the editorial here, but it says, nearly a year ago, the State News editorial board wrote, "Where there's smoke, there's fire. The only way to find answers is to keep pushing for the university's openness. The State News will continue to push for the truth, and our staff urges members of the MSU community to do the same. This is not the end of the university's combative stance on truth seekers. This is just the beginning." The words "then poignant, now powerful" remind us of the importance of the truth, especially as our world at MSU continues to change beneath our feet. It's shattered, but it needed to happen. The MSU community, our community, needs to be ready for what is to come. It's already not pretty, but it will get ugly. Boy, what did they know, huh? Our newsroom is prepared, but we all need to be ready to ask questions and demand results. Otherwise, what's happened will fall to the wayside. We will not have fought for change. The Washington Post's executive editor, Marty Baron, was awarded the Hitchens Prize in November of 2016. Since that day, I have lived and led by his words. This is their editor, Rachel Fredette. "The truth is not meant to be hidden. It is not meant to be suppressed. It is not meant to be ignored. It is not meant to be disguised. It is not meant to be manipulated. It is not meant to be falsified. Otherwise, wrongdoing will persist. This is just the beginning, MSU. We knew it then and we know it now. You must know that we, the State News, will persist so others who aim to do harm cannot." So if you are a journalism professor, that's what you want to hear from a student journalist who is, I'm sure, taking the same kind of classes that you're teaching.
Yeah. Talk to some people. Talk to the ladies on your campuses.
Talk to your daughters.
Mm-hmm.
talk to there. Ask the questions, demand the answers, and thankfully, it's somebody with. I will say this: we are we're rivals with ESPN, right? That's a different company. It's been our
chief for a competition
time.
Forever.
But good job, ESPN. You know, we've made fun of some of the silly stuff that ESPN has done, you know, here and there, and we will continue to do so. But you got to call it out for what it is when it is.
Terrific.
And this is for them as a company, as a publicly traded company, especially with the way the winds are blowing in large part today.
And their relationship with the NCAA
correct,
as well.
Correct. And for them to devote the resources that they devoted to this long-form journalism, to pay the legal fees that they had to pay to unearth this, women will be safer because of Outside the Lines, because of Paula Levine, because of Disney Corp and ESPN, because of their investigative producer, Nicole Noren, investigative reporter John Barr, and staff writer Dan Murphy that contributed to this. Even though this was handled by our competition, good for you, yeah. ESPN. Good job.
Yeah, hats off to them. No doubt about it. Good reporting is good reporting. You know, the Me Too movement that is currently going on, and there are a lot of men who, every time a name comes out, and I know some of these men, a lot of men who say, oh my goodness, this is enough already. But the fact that these women are finally speaking up, how long have they been going through this? How long have, you know, their daughters or their aunts or their sisters told them stories that they never shared? I'm telling you now, the NCAA, if there was a movement like there is in Hollywood for the, you know, for the richest of the rich and the most glamorous people in the world, if there was a movement similar to the Me Too movement in the NCAA and on these campuses, you would be shocked at what goes on. How many women just tell themselves by the end of their college career, at the end, that it wasn't a rape, that it wasn't a sexual assault because nobody cared to listen, or I didn't want to upset the apple cart. I don't want my parents to snatch me off this campus because there are things that I do like about this place. Like these are the stories, man, that make you sad, that make you think, that make you enraged. Like, I don't know what I would do. You know, my sister went to school in South Carolina for a year, got diagnosed with lupus, came back home. And I always think to myself, what would have happened if my sister was all those thousands of miles away, hundreds of miles away, and I couldn't do something for her?
I'm sending a daughter to college in 2 years.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, we have to take care of each other, no doubt about it. But the vulnerable, the people who are preyed upon, this is, like, if we're not there for them, then what are we doing?
In Morris, this is Michelle on the Score.
Hi. I was just wanting to call in because I know that a lot of this has to do with women, but my son was actually being texted inappropriately by a male coach in high school. And he, of course, didn't want to come forward because he was embarrassed. He was worried.
Right.
This teacher was offering him money for sex. And I knew something was wrong because his demeanor was completely off. And he denied everything. I ended up overhearing a conversation one night, and then I went down to the computer and I logged on the computer and I saw all of these text messages back and forth, not the verbiage, but the phone numbers back and forth. So I just knew in my gut that something was really off. And this is a very well-liked teacher, because that's what they do, is
mm-hmm.
they put their prongs in everybody and make you like them. And it couldn't possibly be them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if there's one message I can get across, is to the adults in these kids' lives, listen to them and believe your gut and follow it. I hit so many walls going up at the state's attorney's office because nobody wanted to follow up on this because of bad press for a small town. And I can't even tell you, you know, a lot of high schools get bad press. Our high school was behind this 100%. They were behind us 100%. And when I tried to go back to get restitution for time off and counseling fees and things like that, every attorney I talked to didn't want to go after the teacher. They wanted to go after the school because they have more money and deeper pockets. And I'm like, I have to sleep at night. And that school did everything right by us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to do that. But it just amazes me how people don't believe these kids. And watching all of this week with all of these athletes, just it brought all of that back up, because this was a few years ago for us. And thankfully, on so many levels, that teacher didn't touch my kid, because I probably wouldn't be able to talk to you right now, because I'd be in prison somewhere probably. But I don't understand how all of this just keeps happening. And yes, on these big global levels with the NCAA and, you know, all of the actresses and all of that, but this is happening in a smaller level as well. And don't forget that, you know, parents need to be diligent in listening to their kids and watching what's happening, because I would have never thought in a million years that this guy would have done what he was doing to my son.
Michelle, sorry that happened to your son. Sorry that your family had to endure that.
Thanks, Michelle.
It's good to hear that you are okay, as okay as you can be.
And I think the aspect of listening and believing is important, but we need to separate the situation with Larry Nassar and his victims with the secondary story of the football and basketball program. It wasn't an issue of not believing. It was an issue of actively pushing back against them.
Right.
And that's why I compare it to the Steve Alford situation.
Well, they know it's going to be hard for the victims. That's why these assailants, they know that whether it be legally, can you afford it? Nobody's going to believe you because I have good standing, or
your name's going to be ruined,
or you're going up against football, basketball. Like, think about these football powerhouse. We just did this the other day. We talked about how the schools that have the basketball and football thing going on, and we tried to name the schools. It was Texas. It was Michigan State. It was UCLA, USC. Some of the, like, think about what you have, the monster that you are going up against. A couple of years ago, this team was vying for a CFP spot, if I'm not mistaken. Malik McDowell and all those dudes, and Connor Cook, and mm-hmm. that entire squad. Terrific Big Ten championship game. You see all that manpower and you see all that money in one stadium, you think you, little Shirley, or you, little Jackie, or you, little Beth, you think you're going to go up against that? Like, this is what they plan on. This is what they count on.
And in this case, in this story here, the victims were actively reminded of that.
Right.
It's not just insinuated. It's not just that they have to think about it. It's you've got law enforcement officials and school administrators reminding them, well, you know, it's a, you really want that? You really want to try to do that? You sure? Yeah, you get people using that to push back against them actively. Fort Lauderdale, this is Brandon on the Score.
Hey, Dan and Jason, how are you guys doing today?
All right, what's up, Brandon?
Good. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Here's what I got to say. So I've been, I'm a recent graduate of Purdue Lafayette within the last 10 years. And I got to say, everything about here is education, education, education. Educate your kids. Educate when they go to college. Educate them from the different stages in life. The administrators,
yeah,
I can honestly say...
Your daughter can still be assaulted.
Yes,
with all that education.
Education doesn't prevent assault.
Well, sure, certainly. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is something that not only for women, but men, the administrators at Purdue did a very good job of continuing to harp on us and tell us, make sure it's consensual. Make sure it's been a big thing. And I started college in 2009.
Well, they all do that. All of these programs, Michigan State included, they all subject their players to the same seminars. It's not a question of what they do beforehand. It's a question of how they behave after it happens. And it always happens. They put in all these fail safes. They do this. Oh, yeah, we teach them everything. It's not about that.
That's why we're talking about fostering a culture of sexual assault.
Yeah, Brandon, it's not about education, because they all do that component of it. It's that they know that it doesn't really matter because of how they behave when these things actually occur. They do that just so they can check a box. It's not about that. Because they all do that. And then the players do it. Some do whatever they want anyway. And then they
sleep
say,
sleep through a seminar, sleep through a speaker.
Not even that. Yeah. They'll say, okay, check the box, fill out your little thing, get your quote-unquote diploma that you passed this course. And then it's yaha time for whatever they want to do, and it all gets covered up. And they just say, oh, we'll move into a different dorm. That's all. That's what they did with the Michigan State basketball players. They said, you know what? We'll take swift action and move them to a different dormitory. So it's not about what happens up front.
Yeah, the education part. I mean, these young ladies are in situations where they are supposed to be taken care of, and they are supposed to be respected, and their bodies are supposed to be respected. It's not about them being told something and then all of a sudden not listening to a little bit of it, and then, oh, sexual assault happens. That's not how this works.
It's Adam on the score. Hello, Adam.
Hey, guys. I'm going to take a bit of a pessimistic point to something Jason said a bit earlier about addressing the entire system as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to the Baylor situation. How quickly did Ian McCaw get hired at Liberty as soon as everything went down in Waco?
Hell, people tried to put Art Briles in like a grad assistant role to help them with their offense.
And then they invited him to a coaching seminar.
And then the Cowboys wanted to hire him, too. Yep. Like, it's the system.
As long as there are people out there, and this goes back to the system, this goes back to the money aspect, as long as there are people and there are institutions out there who are willing to put the books and the financials and the butts in the seats and the donors' checks ahead of the kids, this is not going to stop. It's going to keep continuing. I went to a small private college in New Jersey and witnessed friends of mine that would come back beaten, and they were dating basketball players. This wasn't uncommon 20 years ago, and this is at a little tiny D3 school nestled in central New Jersey that no one's heard of. So the fact that this just continues, and it has always continued, you know, the cycle has to stop, but as long as there are Liberty Universities out there or the tone-deaf CFL teams wanting to hire Art Briles, what's the incentive for the schools to get this to stop?
Well,
there's never going to be another SMU death penalty. We've seen that, obviously, because Penn State deserved it, and they got off relatively light.
Appreciate the call. The incentive should be humanity.
Right.
And I know that sounds crazy these days. And for all the people who I've always found it funny when, you know, people call someone or some call me a social justice warrior, whatever that may mean these days. And I try to break it down like, man, don't you want justice, though? Don't you want social justice in this world? Don't you want justice for people who have been wrong? These are the kinds of things we talk about, though. These young ladies and young men. Like Michelle said, these young ladies and young men who are taken advantage of, you want justice for them. And I think the justice is not only sending people to jail for 175 years or people losing their jobs or people being disgraced and shamed. The justice also comes in, like I said, everybody on a teleconference in every school saying, hey, what do we have to unearth right now? Let's do it now. Let's work through this weekend. Let's not let this happen to us. And if it has happened on our campus, let's rid ourselves of that cancer right now. And if one of the cancers is on this phone call, please, someone speak up, because I will hold you accountable as well. These are the kinds of things that have to be said, man. Like, these are the things that have to be done. And it's not easy, and it doesn't feel comfortable. I would love to be talking about, you know, the foolishness that I saw at the Pro Bowl Skills Challenge or the NBA All-Star Draft, which we will be talking about before we're out of here at 6 o'clock. But these are the important things. So for everybody out there who wonders why you're beating us over the head with this again, it's going to knock on your door. It's not about race. It's not about gender. It's about humanity. It's going to knock on your door at some point, and you will have hoped that someone spoke up for you in that moment.
This segment brought to you by CeCe's. At CeCe's, if you don't see what you want at the buffet, you can order your own personal pizza. There's thousands of ways to customize it your way, and it's included with your buffet for just five and change only at CeCe's. Dine-in only. Price may vary. Restrictions apply. Printer's Row, it's Greg. He's on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. Love it when you talk like this. This is really important conversation. You know, I'm a Michigan State graduate and embarrassed beyond words. And I've always been embarrassed by the university. I was a resident assistant back in the days of a Carl Banks and a Ralph Mojenko and George Perlis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was commonplace that, you know, we put the football players in one dorm, and the RAs that had to work over there, they spent every day dealing with an incident like this. And you learn real quickly that those who value winning over people are the worst people in society, and you need to separate yourself from those in society. And Dan, you mentioned your daughter. I mean, I have two daughters in their 20s now, both through college. One serves in the Army, another one is in medical school, and they've had some brushes with this. But the two things that you always got to do is what this lady said. You have to believe them first, foremost, and always. You are their champion, and if you believe them and give them the strength to believe them, they'll do what is right. And the second thing is, if you ever have them anywhere near an organization of any sort, be it education or sports, where winning is more important than them, you need to get them the hell out of there and keep them the hell away from those people.
We appreciate the call. Thank you, Greg. There's no easy answers, and there's still a whole lot of fear on college campuses for every one of these. It's amazing to me when you see the amount of work and the amount of dedication, the amount of time, money, resources to expose something like this, how difficult it is to do, how ingrained, how protected, how safe, and because of the money, because of these trustees, because of people, these venal monsters like Joel Ferguson. And we should get back. I do want to hear more of that, too.
That's got him on the record being an ass.
On the record, the vice chairman of the Board of Trustees
can't lose.
Of Michigan State University.
He ended the interview saying, can't lose on this one. Can't lose. He said it twice.
We're going to do a quick update. We'll hear some of that.
Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Basketball Update Studio, I'm Kevin Zipak. Join homegrown head coach Chris Collins and the Wildcats on Saturday, February 17th, when they host Michigan State at Allstate Arena. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. And starting with Michigan State, athletic director Mark Hollis announced his retirement today. He is the second MSU employee to step down in the aftermath of the Larry Nassar scandal. And a new report released today states that the controversy at MSU goes far beyond that. According to ESPN's Outside the Lines, the university has been complicit in covering up a pattern of violence and sexual assault for over a decade, including within Mark D'Antonio's football program and Tom Izzo's basketball program. Switching to baseball, Cubs GM Jed Hoyer joined Spiegel and Parkins live today in studio. Among the topics discussed, the aggressive moves of the Milwaukee Brewers.
So it made sense that they would be aggressive. I think they have a chance to be really good. The Cardinals obviously have added a bunch of really good pieces this winter too. And that's just the nature of when you're, we wouldn't have been in first place for 2 years in a row. And I think that you expect that teams are going to try to knock you off.
That interview available on 670thescore.com. In basketball, the Bulls will host the Lakers tonight at the United Center. And in golf, Tiger Woods is one over par, tied for 104th at the Farmers Insurance Open. Looking to save money on your Medicare Part D prescriptions? As a preferred pharmacy, Walgreens offers copays as low as $0 on Tier 1 generics on select plans. Switch your prescriptions and start saving today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. I'm Kevin Zipak, and you are listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station, 670 The Score, and the radio home for Super Bowl 52 on Sunday, February 4th, when the Patriots take on the Eagles. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
This is not Penn State. They were dealing with their football program.
Well, now we're dealing with your football and basketball program. That is Joel Ferguson, the vice chairman,
vice chair of the Board of Trustees.
Okay, that's the man.
That's the
man who went on a local radio show and was interviewed about Larry Nassar and pretty much said, "Oh yeah, nobody should resign. There was one sole culprit in this. Michigan State shouldn't be held accountable for anything that this man did. And we're not Penn State, not the football program." Well, guess what? A bombshell just got dropped on East Lansing. Tom Izzo, Mark D'Antonio, the two of the highest paid state employees, I would assume, in the state of Michigan, covering up and fostering a culture of sexual assault, whether it be on their bench or guys who wear their uniforms. I mean, reading some of this from the ESPN Outside the Lines investigative report is just absolutely ridiculous. On October 29, 2013, a woman told campus police that she became extremely intoxicated at a party the night before, came back to her dorm room, and passed out on her bed. The report states the next time she woke up, she was having her pants and legs tugged on by a freshman football player. She said he inserted something somewhere and would stop and sometimes insert something somewhere else, to which she said she did not consent. The player told police at no time did the woman tell him to stop. The woman texted him the next morning expressing regret. He told police the woman told campus police that she did not want to seek criminal prosecution, but did want to report the incident to Michigan State Judicial Services. No criminal charges were filed after she did so. And there's at least 12 instances in this report alone. It's a 14-page story. It's a lot to get through, a lot to read. But there are so many reports when it comes to the East Lansing Police Department, when it comes to the prosecutor's office, when it comes to Tom Izzo, and when it comes to Mark D'Antonio, that Luanna Simon knew she was sitting on something. And the fact that they talked and spoke with such hubris, like you had already been caught. You think people weren't sniffing around? This has been going on now for what? Since 2014 was what you were reading earlier in transition?
Yeah, there's a really important part of this too. Whoever the judge was who dismissed the MSU lawsuit against ESPN, this has been going on for years. This has been going on for at least 4 years now. Read you this paragraph again, because this is important. As part of a 2014 reporting effort spanning 10 universities, ESPN requested copies of all police reports involving football and basketball players from campus and local police departments over 6 seasons. In Michigan State's case, the university supplied the reports but marked out the players' names, something East Lansing police did not do. ESPN ultimately sued Michigan State for the release of material, and Michigan courts ruled the school had violated the state's open record laws, awarded ESPN the unredacted records, and told MSU to pay ESPN's attorney's fees. When ESPN submitted a subsequent records request last year, so that tells me that's Larry Nassar related, MSU took the unusual step of proactively suing ESPN to defend its withholding of the documents. A judge in dismissing the lawsuit wrote that a public body filing suit against a requestor could create a quote-unquote chilling effect and dissuade people from requesting records in the first place. So big thanks to that judge, because if that ruling isn't made, right, we're probably not talking about this right
now. That's the other thing, too, the ties to a university, especially locally. I mean, you got judges, you've got people in the mayor's office. I mean, these tentacles, if somebody wants to go green or whatever the hell they say in East Lansing,
again,
things get covered up.
Political appointees, right. Grand Rapids' own Betsy DeVos met with Luanna Simon and 2 days later rolled back Title IX protections for those who were alleged victims of sexual assault. 2 days later, 2 days after meeting with the now deposed president of Michigan State. Jerry in Hoffman Estates, you're on the score. Hello, Jerry.
Guys, you know, you got a great show, but it's angered me reading this stuff. It's angered me looking at it. I've got 4 daughters, and they've played soccer and other sports throughout those years. And the best part of it was being there, watching them, you know, because I had an opportunity, and my wife, but none of us ever left them alone. And if we saw something, if we said something, if it was grabbing a thigh, if it was grabbing an impress, and you know, your trainers didn't like it, coaches didn't like it, and that, quite honestly, I didn't give a damn.
Right.
One of them made it to OP, you know, the ODP tournament, you know, soccer, and she was thrown off traveling because we had said some things. You got to speak up. Once, you know, somebody said about education. No, that's not. It's about being proactive and watching your kids and protecting them. Your coaches aren't going to protect them. Your schools aren't going to protect them. Nobody is except for yourself. And they don't have the core values. And if they do, they lose them for monetarily reasons or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, Jason, you said it correctly. If somebody was out there and really wanted to open a can of whoop, all they would have to do is, you know, it's now me and I'm going out. This is rampant throughout the country. It's not just Michigan State. And it's been going on for a long time. Guys, you've got to continue talking about it. You have got to make people realize, don't let this go away, because it's hurting our kids. Nobody can protect them except us.
Appreciate you. Thank you for your call.
It shouldn't be that way.
It shouldn't
be that way.
Dan, there's a lot of things that shouldn't be that way.
But that's to your point. It's just for everything that schools say, and they run these gauzily shot advertisements and promos about what a welcoming, mm-hmm, nurturing place they are.
Showing you how diverse they are, and people in lab coats and saying that they're going to take care of your kids, or your boy will become a man, and your girl will become a woman here on this campus.
How much they care about community, and how important everybody is under the banner of who they are and what they do, and their Latin motto and their mascot. And then when it comes to protecting the most vulnerable, when they fail in that regard, that's when these things always hit home. That's why I always, I always, it, it, I
it's
hate
dirty.
It, it, it.
is dirty.
When people come to them, when people who have been assaulted, people who have had crimes committed against them, just want help, and instead they're turned away and told to shut up, and you don't want to bring down the football or basketball team or some beloved doctor.
I don't understand just doing the right thing, like how hard it is. It shouldn't be this. Of course, and I'm, you know, obvious, but it shouldn't be this. It shouldn't be this hard that when a child comes to you or when a young adult comes to you and says, hey, this happened to me, you shouldn't immediately think of, okay, what will be the consequences for the university or what will be the consequences for the football team? Maybe you don't deserve to have one. If that's going on,
we've got to find a way to uncouple these revenue generating sports from higher education. There's just no reason to have them continue to exist together, run by the same people.
This is why I talked to somebody about the NBA betting thing and the 1% of all the bets going to the revenue. The underlying reason is because they want to have the young men that are coming into their league schooled in a way of finance and other things through the G League.
Mm-hmm.
They want to dump this money into the G League and have their own minor league system because these kids come off these college campuses, Dan, at 18 years old and are full of entitlement and are going to get people in trouble who are general managers and owners of teams after they have been given $50 to $60 million or $120 million max contracts. These dudes come into the league very unprepared for life, and they want to start schooling them in their own way and getting them prepared for things. You go somewhere for 4 to 5 years, and that's supposed to be the best time of your life, the exploratory phase of your life, where you meet people that from different backgrounds, where you try different things, where you
become an adult.
You discuss things that you never discussed before. You find your voice and you find your true calling, maybe, hopefully, career-wise and some level of self-awareness as well. For that to be corrupted or for that to be interrupted in the first year, second year, hell, even the last year, before you're sent off into the world, I mean, these things change the paths of lives. And it's crazy because we talk about, like I said, we talk about domestic violence all the time, and then we see the Ray Rice tape and we go, oh, that's what it looks like. We talk about this far too often. We talk about Baylor. We talk about all these other schools. Hell, locally, we talked about the Wheaton situation at Wheaton College. We talk about
Lake Zurich High School.
Lake Zurich High School. We talk about these things, and then we move on. But these people still have to live with these scars if they live through it. That's why I always wondered why people were called survivors of abuse and survivors of molestation. And, you know, not too long ago, it dawned on me, some of these people don't live through this. And when you see a random suicide or like, man, I thought everything was okay with this person, and you never know what's going on or what's happening because no one asked or no one stepped up in their favor or they couldn't talk to anybody about it. These are the things that go on these college campuses, man, and we've got to do something about it. I pray to God, my son is 13 months old. I pray to God that I instill in him that not only the respect for himself, but the respect for people around him and the respect for women. You take care of women. You make sure that women feel safe around you.
And men.
And men, yeah.
Take care of everybody.
I understand, but you know,
take care of vulnerable people. Take care of people who don't have power.
Right.
This is a power issue. It's not a gender issue. It's a power issue.
I'm just talking about the way I was mm-hmm. instructed as a young man. You know, you take care of your sister. You take care of your mom. And you look at ladies as if they are someone's sister, someone's mom. You make sure that no harm is coming to them. Like, these are the kinds of things that you worry about. Hell, I got 17 years to send my kid off and, you know, make some kind of foundation. These things, man, these kids are on these college campuses and are being preyed upon. And once they cry out, no one's listening.
Ryan in Mount Greenwood, welcome to The Score. Hi, Ryan.
How you doing? One of your previous callers touched on it. I think this situation is prevalent probably in every campus, on any level of college athletics. If nobody learned from Penn State and now Michigan State.
And Baylor. Don't forget Baylor.
Yeah, Baylor was recent.
Dan, you were talking about the politics involved in this. Don't forget about what happened out in Stanford not too long ago mm-hmm. with that judge.
With the swimmer, yes.
Exactly. But my thing is the money that's driving this is not just from the NCAA. It's the alum that put people into positions like this AD. You only get that job because the alumni want you there. They drive it. Athletics is the meat market, and that's all it is. That's all it's ever going to be until it changes, until you get money out of it, but it's not that way.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Thank you very much for the call. Ralph is on the south side and on the score. Ralph.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm incensed by this, but I think what incensed me most was the whole Penn State deal and how they pretended that it didn't exist. And Paterno, his kids came on TV talking about he didn't know what was going on. You got to be a blind man not to see what's going on. And then the kid didn't come. One of the coaches didn't come forward till later on.
Yeah,
and then
we don't need to relitigate the Penn State case.
What we need to do is to shut the institution down then and use it as a rehab center instead of letting it go on, just like Michigan State.
Okay.
A rehab center?
I don't know. Downers Grove, David, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Fine.
Jason, real quickly, just your survivor comments. When I do this for a living, I sit across from folks who go through such things, mm-hmm. And perpetrators as well, actually, but you can feel the fact that they're surviving because when they tell their tales, there's such relief. You can feel what they've been carrying.
Right.
It's quite an amazing thing.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I just didn't understand the term. And now I truly do.
Yeah, no, it's a real thing. But real quickly, and thanks for talking about this. You know, Dan, you were talking about the vulnerability piece and how we need to protect those that are vulnerable. And, of course, those are always the people that are preyed upon. It's kind of part of how these systems work. And it's funny because, not funny, haha, it's ironic because the vulnerability piece is exactly what these people get stolen from them. And for them to get back, they need vulnerability as well. So they need to come forward and talk about this. They need to share this stuff with someone. They need to be vulnerable, but that's the very thing that's been taken from them.
That's what we saw so powerfully in the Ingham County courtroom over the last week.
Correct.
That was the re-empowerment in a lot of ways.
Right on. And just listening does that, which makes it so important that when a kid comes, and I have a daughter who played sports, and I will real quickly simply say that the whole sports thing in this country is just way out of control. It's wacky as heck. Parents are way over-involved. I don't want to get into all of that. But mm-hmm. when a kid comes to you, you know, we're so quick to be like, oh, well, that can't be true. Or can that be true? Forget whether it's true or not, man. It's about the process. What kid comes to a parent and says, this is going on?
Right.
What person? I mean, I sit across from folks who come to me and say, hey, my father did this to me. And, right. You know, people are, that could never, he's this, he's that. It isn't about that. It's about someone's coming to me and sharing that with me. Whether or not it's true will come out if we have the right things in place. Forget whether it's true or not, man. People are troubled if they are coming to me and saying, this happened to me. They're living in a world in which this is going on, and we need to simply pay attention to that and not be so worried about did it go on or not.
Thank you. David, it's a really good call, and thanks for the expertise as part of that call. You know, we make fun of John Feinstein a lot because some of his sports minutes just make absolutely no sense. He had a great one today on my drive in. I was on Lakeshore Drive right around the Oak Street curve, and he took 60 seconds to say that gymnastics should be decertified as a U.S. Olympic sport.
I agree.
He said in general that whatever that sport has done to create the power structure it has needs to be completely eradicated.
And then the parents will say, what about the hopes and dreams of the kids who haven't been
Find other hopes and dreams. Because his belief was that sport needs to be completely rebuilt from the studs. That it's just absolutely the current system, and largely the Caroli influence system at the highest levels, has created something that is bad for girls. For every little inspirational story you hear, there are hundreds of others where it's gone badly.
Larry Nassar was carrying off Carrie Strug, right? Wasn't he one of the doctors that was helping her off the stage, if I'm not mistaken? It wasn't just Caroli.
You know, Caroli famously
but Larry Nassar was at the base of that picture as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was listening to. I'm an idiot, so I tune in when there are sports stories, and I get a chance at nighttime. I tune in to where the story is every once in a while. So I'll jump in on radio.com or tune in radio or something like that. And fine, I've been listening to some Detroit sports talk radio. I mean, there's a lot that's happening. There's a lot that's happening in that area right now. And a lot of people, there are a lot of stories coming forward where, you know, just like these calls that we're getting, where we've already had, what, one woman and three men talk about abuse stories in their own right. We've got an abuse counselor that just called. I mean, these people are around, and these people are aware that these things are going on. And until something happens, like just like any tragedy or any ridiculous event, don't wait till it touches you. I keep saying that. Don't wait till this comes to your doorstep.
When is Michigan State basketball's next game?
Tonight. Wisconsin.
Does Izzo coach?
Yeah. Dan, I think he should be gone.
I think he's got
I would love – it sounds like he should be gone. I don't
– I think he's got to find some way to resign and or retire. Get that package together.
It's a home game, too.
Like I say.
It's a home game, too, at the famed Breslin Center, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. You want these optics tonight?
And that's after – it's after your man, Joel Ferguson. We got the chunk, Tanny. It's after you want to play it now? This is after Joel Ferguson made these comments a couple of days ago.
Do you have a little message for anyone in the entire Michigan State Nation this morning in any way, shape, or form regarding all of the events, not only recently, but in the last year?
It's hard to pick out what people want to hear right now. I would just say that the board, the meeting we had the other day was 5 hours, and talking Luana was 10 minutes. We had so many other things we were going over, and we unanimously decided in that meeting right away that Luana was going to we were going to support her staying as a president, because there's so many more things going at the university than just this Nassar thing. I mean, when you go to a basketball game, you walk in that the new Breslin, and the person who hustled and got all those major donors that give money was Luana Simon, and there are just so many things that make up being president of the university that keeps everything moving and everything right with the deans, all everything in a school where we have a waiting list of people students who wanted to come. And so, we're talking to her, and we define her overall job as why we want her to be the president. And we also were happy later on saying, let's have another investigating, bring the attorney general in. And whatever they say, we'll live with that. But we certainly aren't going to do it anything before the thing, because, you know, we actually believe that when he gets through, though, that he will say that our senior people were not complicit in what this pervert did.
Do you hear from people on both sides of the ledger on this issue, or more one side than the other?
The people who actually know about it, the workings of the university, we hear one thing. This weekend we had so many of our major donors and so many of our major alumni sending communications to us in support of the president and supporting what we're trying to do.
Well, how do you think this is going to play out if you were guessing long term down the road? Because obviously these trials are either going to come up or be settled. Where are you with all that?
Well, I think the young ladies who have been who've been wronged by this person and that, I think that that you can never use money to completely make over people's pain and
but
suffering.
I will.
But there's going to be something happen in their favor. I think that when people find out that this person was on an island by himself, I think they'll move on, and we'll keep the university moving. And I think with the president we have, she'll continue to do a great job.
Would you be surprised if at some point she says enough's enough and decides to step down? Would that surprise you in any way?
That will not happen. Period. She's a fighter, and her overall, what she's done for this university, she's not going to get ran out of there by what somebody else did. And when she decides to leave, she will make certain that there is such an orderly transfer that it will keep everything and the things that she's done and laid the work to make this university the great university it is, that it's not going to be, she's not going to walk out of there like that. And enough's enough is she, her, what she's done to make this. I've been on the board for 30 years, and she by far is the best president we've ever had. And when she will pass the baton, it will be
the baton
based upon she, this has been put together, put to bed, and it'll be one orderly way out of there where we will have the foundation, and we will not miss a beat with the new person we bring in the right way.
Do you have a sense as to when she had planned to retire at all, or has that not come up?
I don't think that's even, you know, I think that's the wrong thing to even talk about today when we have people who don't even understand the making, how the university works and what she's been doing, to even talk about that.
Right. Do you fear that the NCAA may get involved in this down the road somehow, some way?
No. To do what?
Real indignant.
Well, I mean, the NCAA, indignant, as you know, caught some flack for being late and then overwhelming Penn State in the aftermath of that event.
This is not Penn State. This is, they were dealing with their football program. I do not see the, and they're smart enough to know they're not confident to walk in here on this.
And are you convinced that if and when the Attorney General runs an independent investigation, that what will be turned up is already known by the university? Is that correct?
No, I'm not. We're very comfortable with our people. But we can't lose on his investigation.
There it is.
If he makes the investigation and says, boy, I can't find anything or clear, that's great. And if he turns around and points out who was complicit and whatever, that's great, because we'll then take action.
Right.
Can't lose.
That is a sellout. That's a scumbag. That's a piece of garbage. That's a mutt. That's Joel Ferguson speaking in as tone deaf a voice as any I've heard after a scandal of 200 girls rocks your university, and then a couple of days later, this bombshell drops.
This segment brought to you by Dell. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor. We were talking about tonight's game and whether or not Tom Izzo would coach. I want to thank the texter that sent me the link to this article from the Lansing State Journal. Fans in the Izzone, and just so you know, the student section at Breslin is called the Izzone, are trading in their green and white for teal to show support for the victims of Larry Nassar. An MSU student and Izzone leader, Casey Kopp, started a GoFundMe page to raise funds to support foundations that aid local sexual assault victims. The hashtag Izzone Teal Out comes 2 days after Nassar was sentenced to 40 to 175 years in Ingham County on 7 counts of criminal sexual conduct. And according to the actual tweet, it just says, it's official, Izzone members, we will have 1,500 teal shirts provided for all the lower bowl Izzone members at tomorrow's game. This is yesterday. They will be passed out outside the student entrance by volunteers who will also be collecting donations for local charities. Now, that's the question I would have. I would like to find Casey Kopp. We can reach out on Twitter. I'd like to find Casey. Because I would like to know
what now?
If you already, and good for them,
yeah.
Good for
you them. Can still get them money,
right? They can still give them money. They can still do this. But now that we know Tom Izzo's role in facilitating a sexual assailant knowingly on his campus, do they feel the same?
Travis Walton, by the way, if you just tuned in.
Travis Walton, who was an assistant coach, yeah, who attacked a woman, nothing was done, and then he attacked another woman. So I'd like to find out if it's still okay with them, and I want to know from Michigan State if they want the optics of Tom Izzo walking out there tonight.
If you are on hold, we will take your phone calls in a couple of minutes here. We're going to take a quick timeout. It's the Bernstein and Golf Show. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. If you're thinking about calling, want to jump into the conversation, feel free to do so. 670-11 is churning out text after text after text. Facebook Live is popping as well. We're going to continue this conversation and dive into more of this report from Outside the Lines and ESPN and Paula Levine on the Michigan State sexual assault scandal and cover-up for the last decade in East Lansing. He's Dan Bernstein. I'm Jason Goff. You're listen to 670 The Score.
This is the number one sports station in Chicago. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. If you're like most folks, you probably spent too much money on the holidays. Now the statements are coming in the mail and you're almost scared to open them. What if I could show you a way to get rid of all your credit cards and save $500, $600, $700 a month? What if I could show you how to do this without any out-of-pocket cost and you can skip 2 months of your mortgage payments? Don't let all your 2017 credit card debt ruin your new year. Apply for a cash-out refinance today at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee.
Did you hear Napleton's Valley Hyundai offers a guaranteed price certificate with no hassle and no haggle in just 20 seconds on new Sonatas, Elantras, and Santa Fes? It's easy. Go to NapletonsValleyHyundai.com, click on the instant price button, and in 20 seconds, they'll send you a price certificate. The price you receive is the price you'll pay, and it comes with Hyundai Assurance and America's